Well, let's see. Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." And Walter Cummins translated this in his working translation, "Henceforth, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his ability." And then he wrote a note, and it says, the Greek word for power and might is kratos and ischus. These two words are synonyms, and they might be translated strength of ability, referring here to the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ's ability to prevail, and that ability came from his Father's ability to prevail, which was referred to in Ephesians 1:19. So let's look there. And it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power," speaking about God, "to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power." And then in verse 20, it describes that power, "which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places," or in the heavenly realm. So again, it's that strength of his ability that it's talking about. His power, his mighty power, the strength of his ability. And then let's go to chapter 3. And verse 14. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father." And then our Lord Jesus Christ is omitted in the text. So it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." We heard that several times in the manifestations about how we're called to his family and how he delivers us. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man." So spirit here refers to the information that originates from God. You know, God strengthens us by way of his spirit. And we know the way God works is his spirit teaches our spirit and our spirit teaches our mind, right? So the way we manifest God's power is he gives us information and we act upon that information. So we can be strong, and there's three ways in which you can be strong. You can be strong physically, you can be strong mentally, and you can be strong spiritually. It's simple enough to understand. To be strong physically is the least important because it's temporary. And as you grow older, you learn that. I mean, there's lots of times when I think, oh man, I can do that. And then I can in my memory, you know. The mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, they're just some things, as you get older, you can't do what you could do when you were young. And that's just the fact of life. And I don't care how hard you work at being healthy and strong and staying in shape, you still eventually get weaker. It's just the way it is. I mean, you see it with the greatest athletes in the world, right? You know, see football players or basketball players or track stars or any sport, you know, and they come in and they start playing in their 20s. By the time they hit their early 30s, they're on the downturn, you know, and they are trained and they stay in shape and they work really hard, but just a little bit makes a big difference. So where does that leave the rest of us physically, you know? It is temporary, and it's not as important or as subservient to mental and spiritual strength. Throughout the Word of God, God has encouraged his people not to rely on themselves, not to rely on weapons. In some places, he talks about it in terms of relying on horses and chariots, or their own devices, but rather to rely on him. And that's where our real strength lies. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 1. This is, of course, Moses speaking to the children of Israel by way of revelation, right? He's by, you know, God has told him what to say to the people. And it says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." So, you know, you think about when Moses led the people out of Egypt and all the things he did. He was, you know, first he ran away. He was a fugitive and he was gone for 40 years. And in that time, he learned to be a shepherd. And then God says, "Okay, you're going back to liberate your people." But he didn't arm him with a special weapon or military understanding or anything else. He just told him what to do. And Moses listened to God, obeyed God. And then, you know, they got out, right? And then they had to deal with all kinds of things. When they defeated the Egyptian army, it wasn't with military strategy or weapons, was it? It was simply that, you know, God told Moses what to do. The Red Sea opened, they walked through, and then the Egyptian followed, and that was that. Yeah. They took a bath. Verse 2, "And it shall be, when ye come nigh unto battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them," you know, he doesn't say, "and the general will come," or "the military experts," or, you know, "the greatest soldiers," but he says what? "The priest will come. And he shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." And you know, to save is deliver. And we heard several times in the manifestations today about how God wants to and will deliver us in any situation. So, you know, okay, maybe you don't go to war. Maybe you don't have to fight a physical battle. But we all fight battles day in and day out, don't we? We all have challenges, and periodically, unfortunately, we deal with crises in our lives of all sorts and all types. And every one of us have, you know, nobody, you know, we're all unique and different and individual in every way. And God has made us that way. But we're not unique in the sense of we all go through the basic same crap. I mean, that's just the way it is, you know. We have to deal with sickness. We have to deal with the pressures of the world. We have to, you know, deal with people that are ignorant or stupid or mean or nasty. We have to deal with, you know, the governments and all the other stuff. We just have to deal with that stuff. But God is there for us to fight our battles, no matter what the battle is. He doesn't qualify what kind of battle he'll fight for you. He'll fight any battle for you. It's amazing. Let's go to Psalm 18. What a loving God. What did I say? Psalm 18, right? Psalm 18 and verse 35. This is a psalm of David. Has to do with when he was delivered from Saul. And it says in verse 35, thou hast also given, well, verse 34, he teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. What a great thing. The shield of his salvation. You know, a shield does what? It protects you. Well, it delivers you when somebody tries to attack you, right? And thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, and they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that arose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. And you know, there's a verse in Joshua where they bring the enemies of Israel and they step on they put them on the ground, they step on their necks, which means they've totally defeated them and destroyed them and, you know, just humiliated them. And that's just, you know, an idiom in the East. let's go to verse 50. It says, great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. And, you know, that includes us because we have the seed of Christ in us, don't we? And God will do for us at least what he did for David. But he'll do more for us because we're his children. And he loves us and he's put his spirit within us. And we are righteous before him and holy and without blame. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. There's a great record here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Of God's deliverance. And it's really great the way it's told in this record. And verse 1, it says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, right? King of Judah. He was an ancestor of David. We just saw that God promised David that he would give victory to his seed also. So that's Jehoshaphat. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be whoever it is, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. So the first thing he did, he didn't go to the Pentagon, right? He didn't seek military experts or strategists. First thing he did is he sought the Lord. He went to find out what God had to say about the situation. And, you know, that's a great lesson for us because so many times when we are confronted with something, the first thing we want to do is figure it out ourselves. You know, why do we do that? I mean, the first thing we should do is pray. First thing we should do is seek the Lord. The first thing we should do is talk to our Heavenly Father, who is the expert in everything and will give us the best advice and the best wisdom that we could ever get. You know, that's what we need to do first. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He knew he was confronted with a really difficult situation. And so he immediately went to God to seek the answer. Verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. And then he got everybody else involved. He got everybody else in Judah also seeking the Lord, praying, you know, going to God together. They got like-minded on the situation. And that's a big deal in the Word of God, that believers be like-minded when they go to God, and their strength in numbers as far as prayer is concerned. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God, our fathers, are not thou God in heaven? You know, he's talking to God. He says, okay, God, aren't you God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? I mean, he's kind of asking a rhetorical question because he knows the answer, right? He doesn't really need an answer from God. He's just stating the obvious, that God is it. He's the most powerful thing in the universe. And he has control over anything when he's invited in to be part of it. So he prays this. Verse 7, art thou not God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people, thy people Israel, and gavest it to thy seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. So, you know, he says, you know, if evil come upon your people, sword, you know, physical danger, or judgment, or pestilence, or famine, you know, pestilence is disease, right? Or famine, need of food, and the basics of life. We stand before this house and in thy presence. Well, the body of Christ, when we get together, is the house of God, isn't it? God is here among us. You know, when every time we come together, he's here. He's with us all the time, wherever we go. And cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. Well, that's pretty simple. God will hear your problem. It's not like he doesn't already know what your problem is, right? He knows. But when we cry unto him, he will give us help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. You know, and the children of Moab were from Lot. They were children of Lot. And Ruth was a Moabitess. You know, so one of the reasons, I guess, that they didn't destroy Moab, because God knew in his foreknowledge, because that was David's great-grandmother. I think it was great. Was it great or great-great? I don't remember. Anyway, so, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Is there tissues there?
Yes.
Yep. Oh, thanks. I just need one. So, what are they saying? They're saying here, you know, we don't have the strength. You know, we don't have the physical strength to deal with this. We don't have the arms or the army or any of the other things. These guys outnumber us. You know, we can't do this on our own. And Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, with their wives and their children. Everybody got involved. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, you know, Asaph, he's one of those guys that wrote in the Psalms, came, and the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon this guy, and he said, hearken ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Yeah. You know, whatever we face in life, the battle's not ours, it's God's. We just got to get that through our thick skulls and allow him to do what he does. Let him do his thing. And he'll tell you what to do, and you make that your thing. You know, and when we do what God says, we'll see great things happen. But, you know, we have to let God be God. You know, and so many times we try to be God. We try to figure it out on our own. We try, oh, I can take care of this. I got it all figured out. And usually we don't. So the battle is not yours, but God's. What a great thing to keep in your mind. The battle is not yours, but God's. That's as simple as it gets, isn't it? Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Jeruel. So God's given them some pretty specific information. And look what he tells them to do. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. So even though they don't have the might or the strength or the military acumen or ability, he's telling them to go out and where the battle's going to be. But he says, you're not going to have to fight. That would be pretty nice, wouldn't it? You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiping the Lord. So they received that information and they took it to be the absolute total truth. And they just were thankful to God for his deliverance, even before it happened. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. What a great thing. So he doesn't just tell them to obey God, but he says, you know, believe the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, and believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. When we read the word of God, that's his prophets, you know. You know, when we believe them, we'll prosper. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he anointed singers unto the Lord. That's exactly what I would think to do if I was going into battle. Get singers. And that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So they put the singers and the musicians out in front of the army. That's probably not what anybody would normally do. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, to utterly slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. And so it was so much. So, wow. You know, they weren't looking to enrich themselves. They were just looking to survive. They were looking to for God to deliver them, and they listened and did exactly what he said. He became their strength, and they turned to him, and he delivered them, and he enriched them. That's a pretty good deal. What a great thing. Let's go to Psalm 31. So I just thought that's a great example of seeing how we are strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, we let him fight our battles. Psalm 31. And verse 23. Says, O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And it says he will strengthen your heart. And you know, the heart is the innermost part of your being, right? The center of your mind. And he strengthens us there. to be mentally and physically strong go hand in, not mentally and physically, but mentally and spiritually strong go hand in hand. You know, because again, God's spirit works with our spirit. It teaches our mind. You know, so he strengthens us when we speak in tongues. We get stronger and grow spiritually, right? When God tells us what to do, gives us information, we must hold fast to it. We, you know, mentally in our minds, that's where we have to hold it, right? You know, we may get revelation. We get revelation by the Spirit. But then we have to hold it in our mind and not get talked out of it. You know, because sometimes we get talked out of things. You know, okay, I'm going to believe God. Oh, well, I better go get a loan. Or I better go, you know, do this or that. We hold fast to it. And when we decide to stand for him, he will give us strength. He will show us the way to go. Let's go to Psalm 34. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, another psalm of David, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Jehoshaphat sought the Lord, right? That's what we should do, seek the Lord. And he delivered me from all my fears. You know, and that's usually where a lot of our troubles begin with, is with fears. We get confronted with something or a situation comes up or I don't know, you get an ache or a pain or, you know, instead of thinking the worst, go to God. Say, okay, God, here's what's going on. Help me out. Show me what to do. He delivered me from all my fears. Again, that word delivered. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivered them. O taste and see the Lord, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You know, that's our strength. We trust in God. We put God's word in our mind. We hold fast to it. That's the strength of the Lord. Verse Psalm 35. Sorry, 37. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, he's the one that brings it to pass. You know, if a farmer plants seed, does the farmer make the seed grow? No. It's really God, the way God designed that seed and set it up, that's what makes it grow. And it just needs water and air and whatever else it needs, you know, fertilizer, whatever. But it's already there. God already did it. There's nothing the farmer does other than put it in the ground. And if the farmer doesn't put, you know, things grow all the time. And if we don't, if you don't cut the grass or do anything, things are going to grow, aren't they? It's just it's the nature of things, the way God set it up. So we only just adapt to what God has done. You know, we just benefit from how he has set things up in the world. So we trust in him. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, just be peaceful. Rest in God when you're confronted. Seek him and allow him to work and fight the battle for you. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And it goes on from there, and then it says, verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming, the wicked. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be upright, of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of the many wicked. So, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. That's what he does. He upholds the righteous. He takes care of us. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Of course, in Romans, it tells us that nothing can separate us from his love, and we're more than conquerors, right? But in Ephesians chapter 6 again, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil. You know, we know that there are two spiritual powers in the world, God and the devil. And the negatives of the world come from the devil, and the positives of the world come from God. You know, love comes from God, life comes from God, deliverance comes from God. The devil, all he ever does is steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, sometimes it may appear that it's physical, right? The battles of this life, they may be manifested in the physical realm, but the origins are spiritual. That's where it comes from. It doesn't come from, you know, Jesus Christ, when you read through the Gospels, which we just finished up with, every day Jesus Christ was confronted with negatives. You know, they tried to kill him. They tried to discredit him. They tried to stop him. They tried to quiet him. They tried to do everything they could. Well, it wasn't, you know, he understood it. It was Satan moving these people. It was Satan that was trying to stop the movement of God's word and the salvation of mankind. It wasn't, obviously the Pharisees weren't that smart because they didn't stop him. And then it says in Corinthians, had the prince of this world known, he wouldn't have slain Jesus Christ, right? So the Lord of glory. So it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that could be scary if you don't know what it says in the Word, right? But Jesus Christ has already given us the victory. He's already conquered death. He's already given us the authority and the ability to deal with these spiritual things. So that's what it's saying. Put on the whole armor of God. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Well, what's our standard for truth? God's word, right? That's our truth. We're to be girt about. And, you know, the loins are the, you know, in physical work and in athletics, they know that it's your core strength that makes the difference. That's your loins. You know, if you work in Home Depot or one of the Lowe's or one of those places, the guys that are moving heavy stuff, they wear these belts around them so they don't hurt themselves. So, but we are to gird ourselves about with the truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness or justice, you know, we put on the breastplate that guards our chest, our vital organs. And it's righteousness. You know, we know that we're righteous and we know him who is righteous. And we are righteous as he is. And your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, we know that gospel of peace and we hold that in our minds and we stay peaceful. And above all, taking the shield of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And obviously all this, the word of God is at the center of it, right? And the accomplishment of Jesus Christ. That's what it is, and we can do that. We're to be strong in the Lord, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And, you know, what's the example we saw in the Old Testament? As soon as they were confronted, they sought the Lord. You know, and that's, we keep that word in our heart, in our minds, and then when we have to deal with things, we seek God. We seek his counsel. We stand upon his promises in every situation. We do the best we can. And it's great to recruit help, you know. That's why we pray together in fellowship. That's why we, you know, send out emails about, you know, somebody needs help, somebody needs prayer. These people need help in some way or another. That's what we do for each other. We pray together. We're like-minded in our lives for the betterment of the body of Christ and for each other. So, Father God, we thank you for your deliverance, for your love, your grace, and that we can be strong in you and in the power of your might, the might of your Son and the power and authority that you've given him, that we have that strength and ability available to us, that you are a God of deliverance. We thank you that we can learn from your word, that you can enlighten our understanding, that we can hold fast to those things, and that we are confident in you and in everything we do. So we just thank you, God, for loving us, for watching over us, that we can have that strength mentally and spiritually, that that's where we need to be strong. And we thank you in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And what a great example he was of standing strong. So we thank you in his name and pray. Amen.